Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe.
Hi, Robin.
Great. We've got a little bit of an echo going on here, so I wanted to go ahead and fix that situation. So I had read that I'm Robin, one of the regular your hosts here tonight. I wanted to let everybody know what's going on with stuff. The technical difficulties kind of put me off a little bit. We want to welcome everybody, and we also want to invite everybody that if you want to get into the conversation tonight, you can go ahead and get onto our switchboard, which is going to be 646-727-3206, and we will have our chat room open if you want to get on that too as well. So last week we talked about Wayne Dyer. We were celebrating him and that show, TT269, and Amy was gracious enough to go ahead and be on the show. And tonight we're going to be talking about Billie Jean King. And I had came across a TED Talk that was very interesting, and we're really calling the show, If You Can See It, You Can Be It. And I know that Amy really is a supporter of that, and it's something that she really works with her work as well, as being able to really come from a positive place and being proactive with the things you want to be creating in life. So how are you doing, Amy, tonight?
I am doing fabulous. I am seeing it.
Yeah.
I am being it. I am feeling it.
You are being it. If you could see it, you could be it. Buzz.
Right.
Something wrong. Something about a bee or something like that. So, so we were, I had forwarded her. So the TED Talk that we're going to talk about was back in Monterey, California this year in May of 2015. And it's a really great just a review of just the accomplishments of some of the things that she's had in her life and just some of the passion that she really carries with that. And I thought it was such a great show to follow through, you know, the next show right after having Wayne be on the show, because we talked about so many ways that he's been just a powerful influence of positive thought and really, like he would have totally said, you know, if you can see it, you can be it, and just coming from that perspective. So thank Amy for being on and really getting into some of the stuff that Billie Jean wanted to talk about. So back, it was in 1973 in September, they had Battle of the Sexes. And for those of us who remember, how old were you, Amy? Do you remember? 63, how old were you then?
In 63?
Mm-hmm. No, in 73, sorry.
Yeah, 73. I was a junior in high school.
Okay, junior in high school. I was 13, so I would have been in just starting as a freshman. So that's interesting. 13 years old. Yeah, it'd be about either just finishing up junior high or getting into high school. And they had Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs were having a tennis match to really just kind of talk about, you know, who's the better sex and all that kinds of stuff. Well, you know, looking back in history, Billie won. And that really helped women in the sense of looking at just really what it was all about was women at that time were not getting really paid anything for being in sports. And in the TED Talks, Billie talks about, you know, they had signed a contract, so they basically get, wasn't a dollar a day? Or I think the contract itself was a dollar or something like that, just so they could get onto the opportunity to be able to be playing tennis and have it on a competitive platform, you know, working with this company that was putting people out there to be able to actually have tennis tournaments happening. So part of the reason she did that was, you know, back when she was 12 years old, she had the vision of really wanting to come from a place of equality and helping people to understand that it was a matter of, you know, just giving everybody equal opportunity to be able to do what they want to do and have it be just a force for good in the world. So I was really happy that Amy wanted to come on and give her perspective of just the different things that she's, you know, had in reflective spot and being able to look at that talk itself and then come from that perspective. So one of the things that that Billy had been talking about was that she, when she had the opportunity to be working with Billy, I mean with Bobby Riggs, she had come from her parents had said, respect your opponent and never underestimate them ever. And so when it came to any kind of levels of competition, she really looked at everybody from not necessarily being one sex or another. It was a matter of, this is my opponent, and I'm going to give them my best because I know they're going to give me their best. And she really respected Bobby and was looking forward to being able to just see what she could be with that. She was really proud that she could beat him because she respected him so much that it gave her a sense of her own accomplishments as a you know, professional athlete. So I think that's really, did that was something when you were going into the workforce and starting to, see yourself, you know, working with them. And Amy had, what was your first position? You were working as a, was it a secretary or?
Yeah, well, the secretary or arena, but I was a key punch operator, which no longer exists.
Yeah, people are like, what the heck is that?
Well, and I was, let me start off and I'll back in. The video you sent me, which is really interesting, was Wayne Dyer talking about the Dow.
Oh wow, that is interesting. So you didn't even get the Billie Jean TED Talks.
Well, that's what I was supposed to watch. So I just find that really interesting. If we believe, right, that everything happens as it should,
and if it happens for a reason, yeah.
So let's back up. So when I went to high school, you know, I'm a pretty intelligent person. I, you know, did good grades, all that. I was the president of Future Business Leaders of America. You know, I clearly was, one of the hip kids, right? And what my mentors told me, if I wanted to be successful in business, what I do is I get my secretarial skills, typing, shorthand, calculator, all that stuff, and then enter into a business and work my way up. So that way I wouldn't have to go to secretarial school. I would do that, and I'd work my way up. But, you know what, let's throw sports into the mix. So we were raised in an Air Force family, and one of the requirements is you have to learn how to bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a bowler from a very young age, and I say visualization was one of my favorite techniques, talk about see it and then be it, right? And so I had a coach when I was 10 years old who told me that he thought I should be in the city tournament. And I was like, no, I can't do that. No, that's not possible. But he believed in me enough. He wasn't looking at me as a girl, but he was looking at me as a person he had belief in. And he taught me the basics, and I would practice and do visualization. Then I got into the tournament, and I won for my age group. And that helped me define. And it wasn't that I was a girl or not a boy or any of it. It was, what is it I want to do? How do I get the skills that I need? How do I do that visioning and do it? Practice, do it, and don't worry about what they're doing or not doing. And that's one of the great things about bowling. You can be on a team, but it really is all about what you do as an individual. And so that set the framework for me. And I entered into the workplace. And I was always, what is my game? How do I make sense of it? My career, I started working full-time at 18, going to school at night. And I learned really quickly what I wanted to do was take the information I was learning and try it out at work. And I found a mentor, which I think is really important for women. I don't think it's a matter of men versus women. I don't think it's any of that. It's about every person finding their own game and finding mentors, what you want to do and doing the practice of it. So I looked around the organization, and I found in those days women didn't help women. I found somebody that was where I wanted to be, very high in the organization, and I went to her, and I begged her to mentor me. And I didn't even call it mentoring. I don't know what I called it. I did, what kind of magazine did you read? What kind of school did you go to? What did you do? I mean everything. And so I plotted my course. And for me, well, I think one of the best things I did was, and I am a trained negotiator. I have a third master's in contract negotiation administration. And I think a lot of times women, people in general, but women really do not get what they want in the workplace because they don't have good negotiation skills. They don't get what they want in relationships because they're not clear what they want and they don't know how to negotiate it. And doing it in a kind, loving way. So I think those parts are really important. So imagine, so I'm going from the, I walked in, I was a GS 2, and I thought, oh, I'm over somebody. Well, come to find out that GS 1 was a temporary position. It wasn't a, you know, a real position. So I was at the very bottom, and I worked my way up. And I remember I was in a five-year intern program, which was hundreds of people across the country that applied for it. You already had to have your bachelor's, which took me 7.5 years to get my bachelor's degree, going at night. And then I had, you know, I competed for this, and I studied. I looked around, what were the questions they asked. I interviewed people who'd been in the program, and I did all those things. I did the visualization of being, it was one exam after another panel meeting, and I got in. And then every year you would get a promotion, and you were really moving from, even the military terms, from being enlisted to an officer, which is a really big shift to make. And I think a lot of people, especially women, struggle with that, going from the servant role to the leader, which, of course, you're still a servant as a leader. You know, servant leader, leadership, you really get that. So I guess the point I want to make, and I'm going to come back. So I here I'm going through this program. I'm getting promotions. I'm eyeball to eyeball with people who are lawyers on the other side, negotiating with them, administrating contracts, doing all this stuff. I was in Philadelphia, I'll never forget this, at this big program review. And it was, you know, a contract I was doing. There were hundreds of people there. And I remember at some point that I went to the restroom, and there was nobody in there. And I thought, well, this is really weird. This is a big meeting. Where the heck is everybody? And I went out, and I realized I was the only woman that wasn't serving coffee in that room.
Oh, wow.
And I never noticed it until I went to the bathroom, and nobody was in there. That's equality, girlfriend. That's equality.
Wait, you have the bathroom all to yourself, huh? Oh, my God.
Well, you know, you don't even think about, oh, I'm the only woman here. I have to prove myself. No.
Yeah.
I was confident in my job. I did my job. I didn't worry about what do they think of me as men. I could have cared less. I was there to do my job as a contracting person.
You know, that's interesting because I remember an interview that I had watched about Oprah Winfrey, and she had the same situation happen with when she had gotten into the broadcasting. And she wound up being the only woman in a room of a bunch of guys. And she learned that as well about it wasn't a matter of, you know, one being over another. It's like, what are we all bringing to the table? And, you know, how are we all wanting to move what we're doing forward, you know?
You know, I don't think men are the bad people here. You know, it's a cultural norm for a long time. It's not about us, you know, it's so funny, in the talk I listened to with Wayne and Oprah about the Tao, you know, he talked about, you know, the ego and, you know, with the Wayneism. I don't know if Wayne got it from somebody else, but he calling ego edging God out. So it's like, you know, you get caught up in the ego about I'm a man, you're a woman, men are doing this, blah, blah, blah. That's where you get in trouble. You know, it's about who am I, what is my game, playing my game the best I can, and supporting everybody else in doing that, those other issues disappear. And it doesn't mean that there isn't discrimination. Certainly there is as a woman. There is ageism, all that stuff. But you know what? I will never let that affect me. Any place that I would want to work, if they didn't want because of my age, I don't want them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, because that's one thing that Billie Jean was saying. She says, you know, it's, you know, we stand on the shoulders of the people who came before us.
Amen.
And that, yeah, and it's being able to be in a place where you can ask questions and knowing that each generation has the chance to make it better. And they do. They do. She was sharing also about when it comes to athletic competitions, every generation beats the generation before that when it comes to ability and what they can accomplish. And, you know, it's just like, you know, the first guy that beat, you know, the 100-yard dash, you know, there was that barrier for so long. That was under four, you know, what was it? I don't know, 4 seconds or something like that. It was a crazy amount of time. But once it got broken, everybody started breaking it. So it's that same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So it's very,
back
very.
We're back to the believing. If you believe you can't beat a 4-minute mile or whatever it was, then you won't. Because you won't train for it. You won't push for it. If you see you're getting close to it, you won't push because, like, oh, I can't make it anyway.
Right. It's never been done, so why do I think I can be the one who you know, gets past that? Right.
Well, you know, when Wayne talked about achieving self-actualization, and, you know, he talked about what a person who was self-actualized, and they weren't they went to a formal event. They didn't realize it was a formal event, and they walked in casual clothes, and, you know, people are, you know, they walk into this formal event in casual clothes. How would the self-actualized person act once they, you know, they walked into this event?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is they wouldn't even notice. But
right,
that's my goal
right.
for the workplace. We don't even notice. None of that stuff matters.
Right. Well, there's one thing that, you know, Billie Jean was talking about that, because, you know, she's really looking at the generation before. We've had two generations since, you know, 73, and she started talking about the millennials and how they really come from more of that place of these things don't really matter. Because to them, it's about being feeling connected and engaged. You know, how do you feel and what are you thinking about, and getting into the solutions, being problem solving, as opposed to just what these other norms have been about, you know, a certain dress and the way things are going to be and things like that. Those things really don't matter. It's about, you know, in the long run, you know, what are we going to be able to accomplish and you know, solve?
Well, and I really want, and I'm going to make a point here. I think it's really important that we honor the men and the women who helped us as women to be strong people and strong in the workplace. You know, it wasn't
Absolutely.
Just women who said, you know what, we need to be taken seriously. We need to have our place. There are a lot of men that helped us too. And it's honoring, you know, we have a lot of freedom and we have a lot of laws and things, but, you know, laws only keep honest people honest, you know, in the workplace, but because of people who were courageous and stood up. And it was both men and women who did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. When Billie Jean has met President Obama, and he said that he was only 12 years old when that match happened. And he said, because of that, he says, you know, you may not realize it, but he saw that match when he was 12, and he says now that he has two daughters, it has made all the difference in the world that he was at that age seeing that, and how he's just different with his daughters because of it. So it really changed his whole perspective about women and, you know, what's possible with, you know, just changing those paradigms. I think that was really cool. So when we know we have, when she was 12 years old, she knew she had that insight. You know, she could see it, and she knows that she could be it. And she knew she was going to be able to go onto a global stage of being able to be on an international thing with tennis and using that as a vehicle for her to be able to get her message out and be able to, you know, make the strides that she wanted to. She was talking about all these different aspects of stuff, and I'd love to get your perspective on these things. Because one of the things she said is, you know, you just got to stick up for yourself. And she said one of the things she found through her, you know, winning that match is that it gave women a lot more self-confidence to feel like their voice really did matter and they could stand up for themselves in the workplace or wherever and be able to say, you know, this is what I need and, you know, I deserve it. I've worked really hard and I like my raise, things like that.
Yeah.
Being able to stand up for themselves. And Billy was just like, well, did you get it? And Eliza was like, yeah, I did get it. So maybe, you know, it can happen for you. It could happen for me. So it's just like you said, it's that modeling, you know, being the mentor for someone else on whatever level it is for inspiration, that people will know that they can move forward and be able to stand up to themselves. And, you know, one thing we've talked about before is being able to hear your own voice and how important that is to be able to have that sense of who am I? Like you're saying, so many women, you know, just have had such a hard time about, you know, what do I want and how would I want that to be? And being able to support that and really encourage themselves with having those things being good, you know, the source for change. And that everyone can do something that's extraordinary. Like, we're going to talk about that when it comes to, you know, what comes to mind when I say something like that for the people that you've trained over the years about how everyone can be extraordinary.
Oh, and I think everybody needs to have at least one person who really believes in them. I think that really, really helps. And so it's really important, whether it's, you know, through Big Brothers or other organizations. I think there's a lot more mentoring opportunities officially now than there's ever been. You know, and even, you know, Robin, you and I and a handful of people created a group on Thursday mornings, and we call them mentoring meetings. And what they are is, and we take terms mentoring and being mentored. And I think that we made that happen. And we formed it with a group of people. You know, John Maxwell says, you know, if you want to know where you're going, look at the five people closest to you.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's a really good exercise. But I literally, I have a whiteboard, a small whiteboard in my office, and I have, you know, my initials in a heart in the center of it, and I have five hearts around it, are the five core people in my life right now. And I look to them for mentorship. Like one of them is Eileen Joyce. She's an incredible, brilliant businesswoman and is a really strong woman of integrity and spirituality. And she and I meet every week and mentor each other. We use different books. We just finished the book By Way of Grace. And we both would read a chapter, and then what does that mean to you? What it mean to me? And supporting each other. I have a good friend, Jeff, who was on last week, really loves technology. So I go to him, and we have discussions about technology and how can I advance my work with that and how to look at that. How do I help people high touch, not just for technology's sake, but to really connect with themselves and others. And there's other in my life, and I'm always looking at who are those five. You happen to be one, Robin. And you know, your spirit of adventure, your spirit of joy, how you courageously go after things, and you do things in such a fun, loving way. So you're one of my five. So it's constantly looking at that and knowing as you're going and shifting, those are changing. And for me, my fear points, if you want to call them that, are different now than they used to be. And so depending on the work environments I would go into, there's new challenges. There's always new challenges. There's always new challenges. Whether you're a man or a woman or whatever your age is, young, older, you know, and finding the support that you need to be able to stand and have your own voice. You know, it's so funny because, for me when I was younger, you know, in our family, we tend to look a lot younger than we are. So when I...
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing. So when I was younger and I was in these positions, pretty high positions of power, I looked like I was 12. And so, there was ageism on that side of it. You know, they thought they could bully me because of that. It just made me stronger. But then, you know, then on the other end, you know, I was thinking, okay, now I'm going to have ageism on the other side. I don't believe that. Neither of those affected me. But I could, you know, and the cultural belief, you know, is that. And I said, well, I want to share a story I think is pretty darn funny. So when I worked for the government, I worked in highly classified programs. And so we were working on one project where we had several contractors from all over the country there coming in to do presentations on proposals, multi-million-dollar proposals that they were giving us that we were evaluating. I was running the team evaluating those proposals and making the decision on which contracts would be let. I mean, this is a million-dollar decision. So what we'd do is we'd bring people into a room and hold them there, and they weren't allowed to see each other. So they didn't know a lot of who the players were and all that. And, you know, I had on a suit, you know, in the old days, little necktie thing that we, you know, would wear, right? And so I would, you know, bring them in, and then I'd take them from the holding tank, which the other ones were out, and then I would bring them into the room where I would be leading the panel. Well, so I'm bringing this group of guys, you know, a multi-million-dollar decision here in the balance. I bring them into the center area, and one of the guys says, hey, honey, can you get me a cup of coffee? And I said, sure. What would you like in that? So I got it for him, and then after the other team was done, they were brought into the room and saw that I was the head of that table. And I had the most fun watching the look on this guy's face, knowing I had a multi-million-dollar decision about him on my plate. I mean, I don't think it affected me, and I don't remember if his team won or not, but I enjoyed making him sweat. I'd like to say I didn't let him affect me, but I can't really say that. I don't think my ego is that in check.
Yeah, so you'd look at that
around,
and go.
Comes around, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so what would Wayne have said that with the Tao?
What would you say? Be the better person, which I think I did overall. I mean, I probably enjoyed it a little more than I should, but, you know, I think I still evaluated the facts. I'm pretty sure I made a decision based on the facts, but I probably enjoyed it a little more than I should have. But that's all right. I'll pay for it.
It'll go around. That's all right. it was worth the effort on that.
You know, it's like I know. It's funny. For instance, I was teaching a communications class in an offsite someplace, and I was at a hotel, and I was just staying there and then teaching the class. And I was going to I was in a restaurant. And it was a buffet, and this family went up. And, well, first off, there was this fella, and you could tell he was clearly a biker guy, right? And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I was, freaking myself out about it. And then a little later, this guy goes to this table where there's this lovely woman and this set of kids, and he's the dad. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, here I made this judgment. This is by, a piece of clothing he was wearing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, so it all worked, So I silently I beat myself up. Nobody else beat me up. But, it's like, dang it. I thought I was smarter than that. I teach this stuff, and I still get caught in it.
That's one thing about, here we're talking about all these different aspects of just dealing with people and not making it about, the stereotypes, the stories, the belief systems, the things that we've had in the past. And I think, just to go back to Billie Jean real quick, it's just those mindsets of so many things that we don't even, we just take so much of that for granted nowadays. I think of, what was the one lady that was on Saturday Night Live? Jane Curtin said that when she first started working on Saturday Night Live, she started making some pretty good money, and then she would go to the bank and she couldn't get a checking account because of where she was as a woman. And, she couldn't get a credit card, and here she was making really good money. It's just, you hear stories like that as a woman, and it's just shocking to think, and it wasn't that long ago. We're talking maybe 30 years ago, women couldn't get a credit card.
I think it's good that we honor those people who had gone before us, because I went through that stuff. I used to get chased around desks, Robin. Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah.
You don't pay me to do this.
Right.
And you need to cut it out. And you used to have to do that, and some really awful things happened along the way. And, I was raised to just like to bite back. Unfortunately, a lot of women weren't.
Right. Well, even now, there's still that, sexual harassment and everything else that still just happened. So it's just,
it's not exactly.
And which is, and that's one of the good things that's come forward too, is just, everyone always thinks it's, one sex opposed to another, but everybody's got their certain level of when they're not treated appropriately. So we've got about 90 seconds left. What are your, we're talking about two different objects, but we're really talking about the same thing when it comes to,
I think it worked out perfect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Giving better.
The bottom line is we want to honor the people who came before us, men and women, and we want us to be true to ourselves. Who am I, and what am I doing for the generation, the people coming up, behind me?
Yeah. Just being that model for change, knowing that, it does get carried forward, and just being that model for people that they can see that there's a kind, compassionate, strong way of being that just empowers everybody.
And sometimes it's about being vulnerable and not being so strong.
Yeah. Well, I think there's, as we talked about last week about how, Wayne had a very strong vulnerability, especially as he got older and really showed himself. He was just so authentic by the time, he did pass, and just being a model of, this vulnerable strength. And it just goes with everyone that, we can be in a place where we're communicating, we're wanting to be engaged and connecting, we're caring about how people think and feel about things and wanting to be there, saying, how do we move forward to being the solutions instead of being the problems?
Absolutely.
And I think that's just something that we've all gone in this.
Exactly what you're doing with Transformation Cafe, my friend. That's what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I thank you for joining us tonight. So just want to encourage everybody to go ahead and rate us and let you know how you're liking the shows. Any questions, comments, or if you have anybody you'd like to have on as a guest chef, we look forward to having those people on as well. And we really want to thank you for joining us here at the cafe, whether it's live now or by downloading as a podcast. We thank you for joining us. And as always, I love you, my sister, and I will see you later here at the cafe.
Good night. Love you. Bye.
Love you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.